Book of the Week with Claire Armistead on guardian.co.uk.
This week I'm going to be discussing poetry, as there suddenly seems to be an awful lot going on, what with prizes, summer festivals and an energetic start from the new Poet Laureate. With me to offer their expert insights are Sarah Crown, poetry reviewer and editor of the Guardian Books website, and Nicholas Rowe, who is one of the judges of this year's Forward Prize, arguably the UK's leading prize for poetry, which has just announced the year's shortlist. We'll also hear from Mick Wood, whose poem Trashbots has just won Poem of the Year from the increasingly prestigious Ledbury Poetry Festival. And in the week when the Guardian Review features poets' responses to war in the Middle East, we'll be discussing the public role of this traditionally private art form. But first, let's turn to the news that the Poet Laureate Carol Ann Duffy is launching a new poetry prize in memory of Ted Hughes, which seems to be geared to broadening out what we understand as poetry. Sarah, could you explain what exactly this award is setting out to do?
Yes, this was announced at the end of last week. And the idea is that the new prize, which is using Carol Ann's stipend that she gets for being Poet Laureate, is going to be given to whatever it is that has made the most exciting contribution to poetry this year. So it's not just geared towards collections or first collections, as most poetry prizes tend to be, or even individual poems. It can be for a radio poem or a verse translation, possibly performance poetry, I imagine. So it's sort of, the idea is, I think, that it's broadening out the remit of poetry prizes, which tend to be, you know, very, very concentrated in the traditional arenas.
One could imagine Tracy Emin making a bid for it with All the People I Ever Slept With, Mark II.
Yes, I can't quite think what that would be like. I don't know, it's an interesting idea, because I think, you know, what people tend to complain about within the poetry community is that prizes are, you know, tend to go to the same people over and over again for book-length collections, and that's not really reflecting the breadth of what poetry is doing in the UK. So hopefully with this, Carol Ann Duffy is going to, you know, make a bit of a change. And the problem that I think she's going to face is defining what she means by the most exciting contribution, particularly if you're looking across lots of different disciplines. You're not comparing like with like, so that's going to present a few challenges, I imagine. But it'll be interesting to see how they resolve them.
So it seems as if the Poet Laureate started out with a mission to challenge preconceptions. If you want to know what those preconceptions are, you have only to look at the Forward long list for Poetry Collection of the Year. All the usual suspects, Nick?
Well, that's one way of putting it, I suppose. You could also call it a distinguished list of mature poetic voices in their prime, who we're lucky to have.
Who is on the list?
This year, the list for the best collection is Glyn Maxwell, Sharon Olds, Don Patterson, Peter Porter, Christopher Reed and Hugo Williams.
Only one woman?
That's right. Quite interestingly, there was a majority of women on the Forward judging panel, and I believe there's a majority of women on the T.S. Eliot judging panel this year, so we'll see how that one goes. And also, on the Felix Dennis Prize for the best first collection, there are actually four women, so there's a bit of a better balance on that one, you might say. But going through the absolute stacks of poetry that came in this year, I gather it's the largest entry they've ever had, with over 160 collections.
Oh, boy. Bad luck.
All in all, there was a sense that almost the default poetic voice in Britain now is female. When Carol Ann Duffy was made Poet Laureate a few months back, she got together, I think it was 13 women poets for the Guardian Review. And there was a sense then that this was what poetry sounds like today. And that was reflected in the Forward entries to a great degree.
Nevertheless, we have a lineup of men in this main collection prize. Sarah, what do you make of them all? Will you be recommending them to your friends?
Some of them, certainly. In terms of, I think that these are some great collections here. Probably the one for me that stands out is Don Patterson's new collection, Rain. And this is, I don't tend to give people books of poetry because they don't tend to be very grateful for them. But I've actually given Landing Light to about three different people because I thought it was so phenomenal. And I think that his new collection, it was a hell of a thing to live up to. And he's done it. He's really pulled it off. It's moved me to tears.
What's it called?
It's called Rain. And I think it's absolutely brilliant. So I definitely take that away to read on holiday.
Nick, are there any overarching themes apart from female and maleness?
This is going to sound a bit of a downer. There's certainly a theme of death underlying quite a lot of the poems on the shortlist. And there's equally sort of bleak themes that came out in the bulk of the entries. I want to perhaps preface that by saying there's also a lot of wit, a lot of humour, there's sort of elegance, even a few laughs in this stuff. But the main metaphor that people seem to be latched on to was Alzheimer's disease. There's also a lot of dead and damaged and ill children.
Oh dear.
Now you can sort of make of that what you will. There's also sort of a great doubts about the natural world and the state of the world. This is the, you know, sort of the bedrock of poetry that people have compared their personalities to, the best and the worst of human nature, but nature was there sort of eternal. There's now sort of a doubt that nature is slightly more provisional.
Mm. Well, there certainly is a school of thought that poets get there first, so I dread to think what that says about where we're heading. Now, probably the most difficult category of all to judge, as I know from my own experience with the foreword, is the one for Poem of the Year. Mick Wood won this year's Ledbury Festival competition with a poem called Trashbots. He came all the way from his home in Strasbourg to read it to us.
Our trashbots are risen, came cobbling from heaps of cartons and pots, lashed with sticky and string. Stocky Yakuza, tattooed head to foot with cereal pack symbols of freedom and goodness. No one's wholesome family dancing in their breakfast bowls. A yogurt's curt homilie on mountains and cows. Spaghetti's sentimental strings. This one's brow is branded with code, fetishes of figures, RDA to exorcise the evil fats and sugars. That one's nine-tenths phallus, its squeezy torso wrapped with hands that do dishes, do dipsticks, do dirty girl, and still look grand. Never expected to feel the felt eyes following us, the sexless loins lusting these pelts of blinding grin and brand-tanned buttock. Expected our litter bin mercenaries to reclaim some lost ground. The trash bots are with us, bestriding the table to dry. The postbox screams we carved for them, inviting our dreams into the cardboard grey galleries of their heads. Radiophonics moog in our memories. Hordes of scissors, staplers, glue guns, marching after a hapless clay man who melts as he runs.
Thank you very much. Did you have a very bad breakfast before you began composing that?
No, in fact, I had just made some trash bots for my children. And it was very strange because when we'd finished them, they were standing on the table. And they looked far more scary than I imagined they would. I thought they'd be these cute little things. And there was just something about it. And it just sparked something with me, you know. A lot of the poems I write, I don't really know where I'm going with them. I have an idea and then it kind of runs itself, you know, it goes in directions I don't expect. But this one came pretty much fully formed, really.
Have you had poetry published before?
Yes, I've had a lot of poetry published, yeah, in various journals and Poetry London, Poetry Island Review, that kind of thing. And I've won awards in a few poetry competitions, but never first prize, as in the Lidbury.
It's interesting, your background's in theatre, isn't it? And I think I can see a little bit of that in the writing of it. Do you think it's influenced?
Right. Yes, the theatre does influence my poetry in good ways and bad ways. But I do tend to write poems that are or can be read as dramatic monologues, really. It's what I'm most interested in. It's probably what I've got the most experience of, to be quite honest.
So the Ted Hughes Prize will be very good news to you then, as somebody who's merging two different art forms in some sense.
Yes, I suppose so. I mean, I'm not really established enough to qualify for that yet, but who knows, in a few years' time, perhaps.
Now, Nick, could you see Trashbots winning Best Poem at the Forwards?
Well, you know, that depends who's on the judging panel, I suppose. But going through that process recently, judging the collection is very different from judging a single poem. When you're reading a collection, you pick up themes, you listen, you hear a voice, poems speak to each other across the pages. With a single poem, you do need a certain immediacy. It has to jump out at you straight away, which I think this poem does. You can imagine it being read in a tent at a festival or something like that. He could get away with that. But I have seen it on page, and it also it rewards a second look. Well, it works. It's very clever.
I have a feeling Carol Ann Duffy would approve, particularly since one feature of it is that it does have a clear political conscience at work. Now, the Ted Hughes Prize is not the only project Carol Ann has initiated in her first few weeks as laureate. She's also asked her fellow poets to provide their responses to the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. 15 responded, and you can see the results in this week's edition of Saturday Review. Nick, with your judging hat on, what do you make of the contributions?
Oh, it's a very interesting collection, which comes at a very interesting time. We've got the Iraq inquiries coming up any time now. Afghanistan is top of the news. People talk a lot about national debates, but we are actually having one about Afghanistan at the moment, about how the war's being prosecuted, about whether it should be prosecuted at all. This is part of that debate. These aren't poems by soldiers on the front line. If you want to read those, there's plenty of them out there. Go to websites. There's a lot of soldiers' poetry out
Good
there.
Good names again.
Oh, in this list, Carol Ann's gathered together an extraordinary list of people who are sort of bearing witness, really, from the home front. These are the people in whose name these wars are being fought, and they're commenting upon it.
Sarah, does poetry have a role in public discourse, do you think?
Well, that's a very big question, and one that people have been asking for years, I think. Certainly, if you look back at the First World War poets, what they were writing, that was where people were getting their information about the war from. It was hugely important. Or even if you look back further to people like Alexander Pope, for example, the role of satire in poetry, that's had a huge effect throughout the years.
But there's another aspect, isn't there, which is that Carol Ann Duffy has taken on this public ceremonial role,
yes,
in a way, and this is what she's choosing to do with it.
Yeah, she's a public figure, so in that sense she's bringing poetry into the public forum. And she is the establishment in a sense, because she, you know, she's a poet laureate, she's appointed by the Queen. We've seen the photos of her doing a little knee bob in front of Her Majesty. But what she seems to have been doing since she stepped into the role is to actually be setting herself up, if anything, in opposition to the establishment. And certainly with these war poets, none of whom are particularly complimentary, it's fair to say, about the war. It's interesting, you know, it brings a sort of a note of division into the debate, I think.
Now, there's never any better way to judge a poem than to hear it for yourself. Sarah is going to end this podcast with a reading of one of the poems published in Review. It's St. Brides by Joe Shapcott.
There is a tower of the winds as tall as this one in another city, a steeple filled with fire by the incendiary raids of a coalition of the unwilling. Nocturnal shocks pound the citizens who survive, blast them out of their beds into the streets, children bundled under their arms. The gutters flame, dust as light. I was born in a city to come and go safely through the boroughs, carrying inside me every morning's news, pictures of soldiers in places they didn't want to understand, made to fight for loose change, for the hell of it, for a can of oil. I live here, but the smell of print and ashes is in my nose.
Well, that's it for this week's poetry special. Thanks to Sarah Crown and Nicholas Rowe for coming into the studio. I'm Claire Armistead. The producer was Francesca Panetta. Until next week, goodbye.